We are up for the Mishnah. We just started the Mishnah on Mem Amud Beis. I did note, by the way, I mentioned to you the difference between Govai and the other two. Rabbeinu Yonah already makes this point, that Govai is what comes, Elvai itself is not named Klala. It's just Govai brings Klala, as opposed to the Chometz and the Novlos, which themselves are considered a min klal. They're something that didn't ripen fully, that didn't, you know, didn't get the way you really wanted them to get, or as much as you would have hoped. Someone you asked me about the question of chometz. Rabbeinu Yonah asked that question as well. Chometz is generally not considered consumable directly, straight. Vinegar can be mixed into a lot of things. It can be part of a salad dressing. It can be part of lots of dressings. You can rinse stuff in vinegar. You may have a little vinegary taste. But you take a cup of vinegar and drink it, we would probably look at the person and say that they're crazy. Jonathan?
I was assuming that it didn't mean like full vinegar. It just meant that it was like a little bit sour.
No. It means vinegar.
Oh, okay.
Shouldn't
it? I assume we had some sort of a Negron case, like with olive oil.
So what Rabbeinu Yonah says is a Gemara in Tainus, in Yoma, in the 8th Parak. Here's the question. It's, how many of you think that vinegar is edible, straight?
It is technically edible.
So is paper.
Yeah.
That's not considered edible.
It's not
someone can pass down their mouth into their gullet does not mean that it's edible.
No, but like you will gain nutrients from it.
From paper?
Yes,
fiber. There is a minimum number of calories in vinegar. However, I don't recommend neither does the Mishnah, because the Mishnah Yoma says that if you eat oaf from Shenem Uyim or drink mash from Shenem Uyim, lachil or shtein and pippa, you're not tired. Because it's not a bittul of the inisem, of inui. And so one of the examples of a drink that is not drinkable is vinegar. So, there is apparently a Gemara that not everybody has, because the Rambam doesn't pass it that way. That's only if you drink a little bit of vinegar, Boaz, but if you drink a lot of vinegar, so then you do benefit in some sense from it. So then Yonah suggests that maybe, therefore, since you could, it could be in some context edible, if you had enough of it, or considered a Shia, therefore, even when you have less than a Rabbis, you still make a Brach on it. Shimmy?
But in that case, the reason why you're saying the Shahabal isn't because it's a min klala. It's because it's a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, it's just because it's gross. Yeah.
You still say Alpha Gumpet on bad morning.
I don't know. Okay, so now the Mishnah continues. But let's not even go to the Mishnah. Let's just talk about what the Yerushalmi says. What did Yerushalmi say? We don't have to read this Yerushalmi inside. What did the embedded motif Yerushalmi said? Otherwise, I will read it inside to you. Now, okay, so I'm going to come back to that story, which is the equivalent story. I just want the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah. And that story in the Yerushalmi, I think, is in the wrong place. I can't quite see its connection to... Well, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I think I know what its connection is to what precedes it. Correct. So the question is, what is it doing there? We're going to talk about. I don't want to talk about it now. It really belongs to the next sugya. But I wanted you to see that it was there. So now, just what the Yerushalmi says very briefly on this mission about the shahakals. So the Yerushalmi says, "Hech mitzieno, Omer Baruch Daya Emes, Vala Ochla Omer Shachlan Yedivara, Ra Govai Omer Baruch Daya Emes, Vala Ochla Omer Shachlan Yedivara, Ra Novlo Shenashru." Omer Baruch Dayan Emes, Bala Ochlan Omer Baruch Shakoni Yedigara. Now, first couple of points here. Number one, obviously it says Baruch Dayan Emes, that's not what you say. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dayan Emes, which is the bracha that you should recite. You know, if you hear about somebody's death that you have no idea who they are, but someone tells you about their relative, you're being nice to them when you say Baruch Dayan Emes. But if it's someone that you know and it makes a roshim upon you, you make the bracha B'Shem Malchus, not just if it's your karov. And that's just if you're an Avel. Avelim do it. The Minhag, the proper time to do it really is at the time of the death. The Minhag has often become is that it's done in conjunction with Kriya at the time of the funeral. Now, so with the Yerushalmi here already anticipates, but doesn't talk about, the even more bizarre case. So here the Yerushalmi talks about two separate actions. Something bad happens, you say Dayan Emes. You come to eat it, you make a shachna bevaro. More odd is something that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and I think we've spoken about this, and I think we probably fought over this, but if a parent's person's father or morish dies, they make firstly the bracha of Dayan Emes for Shem Malachus, and if they have siblings who are inheriting with them, brothers who are inheriting them, or it's a girl that she has only sisters inheriting with her, and Bizmat Hazeh, if we actually observe this din, it would apply even with siblings who are only Yorish because of a will, or whatever mechanism is used to allow secular things of Yerusha working, since you know you're getting Yerusha from that, so you make Hatov HaMetiv. As I said before, this seems totally bizarre, except that when you imagine someone, not someone necessarily your age, but someone who might be older, they might be in their 50s, and their parent is in their 80s, and people, you know, two things in life are inevitable, death and taxes, and the parent's going to die, and sometimes it's tragic, sometimes it's just sad, the parent is older, and that person is very well aware that that their parent is dying, is going to die at some point, and is also going to leave them a Yerusha. And if their parent is leaving them anything meaningful as a Yerusha that makes an impact upon them, they are psychologically aware of that. It doesn't mean they're looking to push the hospital over the cliff. That's not what it means, but it means that we are human beings with complex emotions. We are cognitively aware of all the things that this, what's going on, means. And therefore, halacha doesn't pretend that our psychological complexity doesn't exist. We are not, I don't know if the term is psychological monists. We're not, our mind doesn't only operate in one particular realm. So that is kind of like, okay, first you make a dynamis on the Ptira, then you make a Tova Metiv on the Yerusha. I don't think that's just what people do today, to be honest with you. Partially because Shechiyonu, a Tova Metiv, if a person was an only child and they were inheriting an entire state, they wouldn't say a Tova Metiv, they'd say a Shechiyonu, which sounds even more strange. I mean, maybe not more strange. But, Shechiyonu v'kimonu 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 hazeh. Yes, Shechiyonu v'kimonu, but not him. So it's very odd. But again, Shechiyonu is the bracha for one person benefiting. Atov HaMetiv is the bracha for two or more people benefiting. And those brachas on some level may be rishus. I think we've spoken about this before. It's not clear. Shechiyonu, let's say, on a new fruit, might be rishus. Shechiyonu on a yom tov is a chiyuv. But Shechiyonu, because I have a new something, firstly, it's partially dependent upon emotions. We don't make a bracha. If we buy a new shirt, most of us, we don't make a Shechiyonu. We buy a suit, we typically do make a Shechiyonu. Why? Because you might buy a suit once or twice a year. You don't typically, a shirt, I mean, I don't know how often you buy it, but it's like, shirts, you go and spend $20 in the store. It's not a dover chashuv. They're like, oh, a new shirt, I am so happy today. What'd you do today? You might tell somebody, I got a new beautiful suit. I got a new shirt. From Kirkland, yeah. No, I don't think so. Okay.
Charles Kiewit.
Oh, you mean Charles? Yes, Charles Kiewit, which is the choice of the yeshiva elite. The boys in the Philly yeshiva all wear Charles Kiewit. Okay. What?
It's
that
a letter to
label
saying like, wow, we didn't know so much of our customer base is like from the community, like.
Okay. Anyway, so you make a shechiyah only makes an impact. So here, if you don't have the emotional state, if you're not like a Brisker / Litvak. You're probably not going to make a Tova Metiv or Shechiyonu.
Lewis? On the case like where you're wanting to be here, the patient is a bracha and probably if we saw in the case of the slave dying, there would be another
bracha. Hamakom imalei
chesroncha.
It was a bracha. That was nichum on the financial loss.
Okay, so the bracha is still for financial disasters would be...
But dianemis. Yeah. Yes, I don't. Again, we have. I call it bracha phobia. People don't like making brachos. Certainly, shame of malchus. So, if you haven't seen your good friend and haven't communicated with him, really made contact with him in over a month, you're supposed to make a shechen, or in over a year, you're supposed to make chai mason. It's supposed to be the shame of malchus. Like, we shy away from this brachos.
On your point yesterday about doing the Aramaic brachot to get around the case of suffering, even easier than that, why can't you just use a different chain that's not a shame?
Yeah, again, you could do that. Yeah, and that's not what we do. Like, nobody thought of saying that. I know, I don't know. It has to be wrong, and I don't know why. Because it seems compellingly correct. But how is it that nobody thought to say that before? Okay. Anyway. Okay. So, that's what the Yerushalmi says. Now, the one thing that you can tell from Yerushalmi, Derech Agav, is what are noblos according to the Yerushalmi? Ronnie?
They fell off.
They fell off. Notion. And that is, sounds more like one of the two deos in the Bavli, but not the Maskana of the Bavli. Okay, so now let's turn our attention to the Bavli. So I'm going to skip over the last line. Mishnah will do that when we do the next sugya, which is really what we're, you know, the next big thing looming. Go ahead. Who is going to read for me? Who would like to read? Who didn't read in the last day or two? Ezra. Yes, Tan Rabbanan. Let me go on.
No,
no, no. Yeah, I'm just
Memo. Memo. No, that's the wrong thing.
No, that ain't it.
That ain't it.
That's
okay.
The
wrong
one. That's
the
wrong one. My bad. My bad. Al-Davar, Sheid, Bill, and Arif, Kigon, Basa, Behemos, Kaya, so of course, Dagi, Omer Shakul, Yavidra. Al-Khal, Vaitim, Vina, Omer Shakul, Shakul, Al-Khas, Sheid, Ipsha, Vel Hayayin, Sheh.
Hikrim?
Hikrim?
Okay. What's odd about this brisa? Shimmy?
The four different groups.
Well, why do you keep saying on A, B, and C you make shahako? On B, E, and F you make shahako. But on E, F, and G, I'm sorry, go ahead. H, I, and J, you make shahako. And at J, K, and L, you make shahako. Now, I'm not asked the yes, if right.
Is that unusual to break up long lists like this?
It might be, but the Rashba was bothered by the question and asked it. And he gives two answers. Number one is that it's conceptual groupings.
Yeah.
That's the opposite. The other is a more mechkar. That's for Chokrim type one. The Chokrim type two, the answer is that they had multiple traditions. Each of these was learned from a separate Rebbe or separate, it was a separate piece, and therefore it preserved the state. That's for Chokrim type two. What?
No, it's a good way to put that.
Correct. So those are the two answers the Rashba gives. But, you know, when you start to read it in rhythm, it's sort of like, okay, I see Ezra was like choking on this. It's like, okay, come on, are we going to get something interesting here? You know, it reminds me of the story I was told by Ganesh when he was sitting in Shiva. Someone who paid a Shiva call, I asked him, what sefer did you use for Chasidus? Rabbi Ganesh said, the Shulchan Aruch. So the person said, no, like when you have like a practical Shaila. So what do you use? He said, the Shulchan Aruch. And then he asked him like a third time. And he said, the Shulchan Aruch. No, he wanted
what's the Nafkamina? Like?
What? People want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. There's no Nafkamina. And he was hoping that Rabbi Ganesh would see. You'd use Rabbi Maurice Lam's, you know, death and dying in the Jewish tradition, or some other Rabbi Lam's, like Rabbi Ganesh, I use the Shulchan Aruch. So if people say to me, Shahako, Ronnie?
I have a and the reason why you break it up into categories is because it's easier to memorize.
That might be very close to what, not the same thing, but could be saying the Ephraim is suggesting, or the reason for what Ephraim is suggesting. That long list get broken up.
It's very neat to just list off all these rebels like this. It's like good to set up just categories in general.
Yeah. Okay.
I understand. Like,
all right. What are the categories? Well, the first category is meat, but not in a Jewish way. Well, Ronnie, a vegetarian. When firm people say they're vegetarian, sometimes they don't mean the same thing as when non-Jews say that they're vegetarian. Non-Jews say they're vegetarian, they typically mean they don't eat flesh of any creature. When firm Jews say they're vegetarian, it means they don't eat things that makes them fleshy. That term amongst non-firm Jews, I believe, is pescatarian, right? Pescatarians, they will eat fish, but they won't eat, you know, fowl and beef and pork and so on and so forth. So when we say I'm vegetarian, it could be you don't eat fish, but it often means I don't eat things that make me fleshy. But when everybody else says it, they mean typically they don't eat even any kind of flesh.
I'm moral calm, they're just only great 5 hours, yeah. I'm moral calm
too. Okay. So, that's the first category. The second category is animal products. The vegetarians can eat this, but the vegans can't eat it. Milk, cheese, eggs. Missing all the good stuff.
You never
vegetarians can eat it, but vegans can't.
Yeah, before you take
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes.
Spoiled things.
Okay. And then melach zamis. I'm sorry. Then things that went bad. Pasha ipsha. What is ipsha?
Moldy.
Yeah,
maybe the fungi is an
insect. Mold is also a fungus.
Yeah, but it's not as good as the other two fungi.
Okay. So, pasha ipsha yayin shehikrim. The wine starts to go off. I don't know if it's its first stages of vinegar. What does the word hikrim mean? What is a krum?
A membrane.
A membrane. So it means it's like something on the top of the wine. No, you can see a membrane.
No, No.
In the physically visible sense, you can have membranes that are visible.
The what?
I'm not such a bucky, and I know who the characters are, but I don't know much about them.
Fine.
So sorry.
That might. Jesus.
Okay, like again. So in some foods, it's all when you cool chicken soup down, when you freeze chicken soup, you wind up a layer of fat on top. You can wind up with fat on the top of things that floats. Okay, very nice. So that the third category are things that spoil, and the fourth category are
things that come from the ground but aren't edible.
That's a good way of putting it. Melach, we understand. You might have. It's an interesting question. If you mine salt on Shabbos, are you chayav hakotza?
I'll
give you more. Let's say you gather salt up from the field. Is that ma'amer? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara in Shabbos says it's not ma'amer. Because melach is not gedulei karka. So, but you might have thought salt comes from the ground, grows from the ground.
Although, I feel like
you'd
often get it from like the sea.
That's not organic though.
It's geological.
I don't know. Gedulei karka is referring to biological.
I understand that. These are various things that look like they come from the ground but don't grow from the ground.
Well, yeah, it's a good point that they could also have gotten it from the sea.
It all depends. It all depends on whether or not you were close enough to the sea. And you have Misrafos Melach in somewhere in the Rishonim. It might be in Sefer Yoshua. Yeah, which I think the Rishonim explained means the place where they would burn the salt, burn off the salt, meaning they would evaporate the sun. What they do is they would bring salt water into these pools, so some would evaporate, you left the salt on the bottom. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, zamis, they say, is soup. But brine. Yeah. Rabbi Yonah here thinks it's marak, which I don't think he means to exclude brine, but
yeah.
Somewhere, maybe it's in Erevin, where they say that zamis is like salt water. Okay. Okay.
That'd be different from just plain salt.
I don't know if they found like briny liquids in the ground, you know, a pool of it from, you know, sea salt, you know, salt water. I don't know, but either way, it's not such a big fetish. And Kamein and Pitrios are like mushrooms and fungi, which I forget exactly how they grow. They don't have roots, but I think they do draw from the ground, even though the Gemara seems to assume not so, yeah?
Yeah, they've got most of the body. The mushroom only appears in Sata, distributed spores. Most of the body that's around all the time is the mycelium, which is, it's like a root network. It spreads out throughout. Yeah, it spreads throughout the soil. It connects various plants and it decays stuff.
Okay. Fine.
Ronnie?
I thought
Tamrahim
might be related to cumin.
No.
In Arabic.
No, kamon. Kamon is cumin in Hebrew. Okay. Kamon, yeah. Yeah. Also, I think, why do I think? No, yeah, kamon. Okay. So, the Gemara now says, Lamemra.
Lamemra, the Kamehim?
The Kamehim.
I think it's Kamehim.
Sounds like you're saying the Nakti de Lekarka because you make a shakal, but Tanya.
Yeah, Tanya. I know there are Mukeras Haaretz, also Mukeras.
Haaretz, Umutar.
Umutar, the Snehim Perpetua.
And I call Peros Haaretz. But Vimamar.
Vimamar, Kod de Lekarka, Alay also.
Alay.
Alay also, right?
No, in Amar Kogi de Lekarka, Alay, which is a Lashon of Neder. Okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay.
So.
That's an Afghan name and patriot. Oh my god,
They grow from the ground. Rashi says they derive their water. They derive benefits from the moisture in the ground, but they don't actually draw nourishment from the ground. So I think what it means, even if botanists would say that it does draw nourishment, they don't have a root system the way we normally have a root system, the way other fruits have a root system, and that's what they mean by it. Okay. Right, it says davar she'ein do l'aretz and list k'meim u'pitrius. So the answer is?
Yeah,
I'll double shame you. Yeah, you should teach the Aldabra Shane or Yogi Marks. Okay, fine.
Is that
an emendation? Tani means yes, and then the vice. Generally speaking, this is a rather, I think, late Tani. More often you see Mishnah's prices being amended the explicit instruction of early Amorai. Rav would tell his Bryce recited or his Mishnah recited Tani, meaning correct it, teach it the following fashion. It's a tzivui. Mm-hmm. All right. So now the Gemara turns to the definition of novlos. Thank you. Who else would like to read? All right. Okay, so there's a machlokas or zirim illa that right now the Gemara is presenting on our Mishnah. So note that the word, as you know if you read the Gemara, the word novlos appears here, and it appears in the first Mishnah in Divine. We will talk about that when the Gemara invokes it. Right now, the Gemara is suggesting that the Machlokas Rav Illa and Rav Zeira was about what the meaning of Novlos is in our Mishnah. Now, the term, by the way, in the Mishnah in Divine is Novlos Tamara. And here it's just called Stam Novlos, which the Gemara will point out later. So right now, the Gemara suggests there's a Machlokas Rav Zeira and Rav Illa. One of them said it's Bush Le Kamra. Rashi explains that things that were ripened or burned by the heat, probably by the sun, srufei chama, because the word kamra, Rashi says, is chom. And he quotes the Gemara of Sachem. Also know that the komer shel zesim, you know what a komer shel zesim is? I'm waiting for someone to say, the priest of olives. A komer is a priest.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, can I read my
Yes. Marim, yeah. Galochen. So, what? You know what a galoch is?
The priest.
A priest. You know why it's called a galoch?
No, actually.
It was the monks. They used to be totally shaved.
Oh, that's why.
Now you do, right? It's pretty obvious once it's pointed out.
Is this Yiddish?
Galoch? Yeah, it's a Yiddish term, but you know the Hebrew. The galeach.
Yeah.
But yes, Ashkenazim. In Ashkenaz and Europe, they referred to the priest as a galach.
Yeah, but also, I kind of know that it was a head.
Except for there is no word with a chav, so. But you never know. It could have been a totally Yiddish term. So it's got a Yiddish accent on it, but a galach is a. Okay. So a komeshel basin is where they would pile up the olives when they already were moist and maybe crushed. And you know what happens? In a heap like that, like what happens in a compost heap. You want to burn yourself? One way to do it is go to somebody's well-done compost heap, bury your hand into the middle, and you burn yourself. Because the decay of organic material generates enormous amount of heat. When people have compost heaps in the winter, you might have a foot of snow around in the backyard, but the compost heap is going to have no snow on it, because it will melt anything that falls on it. So I suspect that's why it's called a komer shel zesim, because of the heat that's generated. That'd be my guess. Anyway, so these are things that were burned by the sun. Tamrei d'zika, Rashi says, are the dates that the wind blew off. Zika is the Aramaic word for wind. Okay, so now the Gemara says, go ahead. Klala. Now, this is a very... What is the question exactly? It requires, I think, very precise reading, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Shimon?
Oh,
is saying that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on these three things that because they're min klala, you don't make a bracha. But we're saying that if it's a tamar dezika, it was just knocked off, how is that really a klala? You still harvested it and you still have the fruit.
Shemit, does that make any sense to you?
I mean,
I knew that. I understood that. Anytime.
I mean, is it the fact that it becomes hefker, so someone else is going to take it? So.
Well, that's one problem, right? If we say that it's hefker, it's a loss to you.
Right.
In other words, why does the Gemara think that it's not a minkala? Firstly, it may be falling off the tree before it's fully ripe, and it becomes hefker in effect because people are going to, because you're mafkir, so people are thinking. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand it as a minkala. Now, Shimi.
Well, I mean, for the latter problem, given that you have it, clearly it wasn't a minkala for this particular one, for the problem of other people getting it.
Okay, fair enough. But what about the first one?
I mean, maybe it's other instruments mentioned, so you don't have to let it. So if you get it back, you don't have to let it.
So it may have to do with the terminology min klala, which is that what do you do with these dates if you want to keep them? Most people are not going to keep them. It's not worth it. You just let them go. So you probably can ripen them. You have to leave them out. Like fruit, unless it's really too early, fruit does ripen. Like the way in this country, the reason why fruit is not so good, which eventually is they pick it when it's not ripe. Because they want it to ripen only by the time it gets to the store, but it's much better, apparently, the food, if you let it ripen attached to the ground, and then you cut it and eat it immediately. That apparently tastes much better. But because they have to often ship it for a few days, they have to time the harvesting so that it is not actually ripe. So these peiros probably can be ripened. Therefore, it's not a min klala. It's a little annoying. You might choose to be mafkir, it's not worth it, but it's not the same thing as chometz and govai in its own way. Min klala means two different things there. As Rashi says, min klala in the Mishnah, chometz and oblos to govai al yedei klala hein bayim. Because govai themselves are min klala, but a curse leads to them. In one case, curse leads to the food not, you know, developing properly. In the other case, a curse leads to the govai coming and eating all the rest of your food. Ronnie?
What do you call, like, raisins? Just because it's sunburned. Or
craisins?
What?
Craisins?
Right.
But that's
just a
normal
raisin.
Yeah, you know. No, because they're not burned by the sun. That's why people like them.
Yeah.
They're mostly their fruit that, other than wine and olives, which were grapes and olives were processed differently. So a lot of their food, like figs, for example, which was a major staple, almost all of it was dried. That's what grogos are. That's not a min klala. So drying fruit doesn't make it a min klala. The fruit being dried in a bad way, where it's desiccated, let's say, that's a min klala, but that's not what raisins are. What's desiccated? I'm fearful. I'm giving the Sichas Musar tonight. Nobody's going to understand half of what I'm saying. In the English language!
Dried.
So nobody likes it.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So, first you guys didn't know what lemons were. Now you don't know what. Do you know what lemmings
are?
It's
just free association. It's just like
everything I hear.
The animal. When we talk about being like a lemon, what does that mean?
Mammals.
I know. What does that mean when you say be like a lemon?
Rumor has it that lemmings will all follow each other and jump off the cliff.
They'll jump off the cliff. They'll follow the
off the
cliff. Okay, I just need to know because I make reference to lemmings tonight, and I need people. Not people saying what is a lemming. It's like, oh no. All right.
So you're using the lemming example in your
sentence, I used the metaphor. I definitely have actual lemmings. Goodness gracious. Goodness.
People will know what you're talking about even if they don't understand.
They'll hopefully figure it out from context. Okay. Yes, so that's the, so the Gemara says, oh, we have, so Ika Da'amri, that one question was, it's Da'amri Kala. Well, there was an answer. Wasn't there an answer?
No.
What? Ashara, which is? Yeah, in other words, they listed three things, two which were Minkala, the one which wasn't. Rabbi Yehuda said that you don't make any bracha on a Minkala. So Rabbi Yehuda would be more that you do make a shakal on Novlos, or something on Novlos. Well, right now, a shakal on Novlos.
It's in the middle.
What?
It's in the middle of the three.
Ikadan, right? Yeah. What's wrong with it? It's if you ripen the fruit and you eat it, it's how it eats. Why would you think otherwise? Okay.
So that only makes sense if you recognize that you can ripen it afterwards.
I think so.
But just in that state.
Well, if it's not ripe, that's a good question. If you eat unripe fruit, I would assume you make, if it's really unripe, I don't mean people like in the varieties, I would assume if it's shahako, you don't make bari prayers on unripe fruit. That's what I would have assumed. I don't know, I don't recall seeing anywhere this discussed, but that's what I would think. Okay, so now, what? You wouldn't say?
We have not specified what stage they're not.
Correct, but what is the? Okay, so you could be. It could be. I'm thinking about the way the Mefarshim explained it in the Yerushalmi. Right. If you saw in the Yerushalmi's case, the fact that you're making a die in Emes is because they're not good. Okay. Go ahead.
Count of my Hashisan, Vaharimin, Vahazuladin, Rashuach, Rashikma, Gofnim, Vit
Mitzvah, Novlos, Tamara. That's Kalim Shabbatai. What is Kalim Shabbatai? Ronnie?
I think it means that the rabbis were meant to kill, so that you have a safek when they were meet hostility for not doing it.
Okay, so what is the Mai?
Jake,
the knife out of his back.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, Jake, what is the Mai?
It's when you buy produce from Namaris, and you're not sure if they separate it.
All right. They separated Truma Gedola, that they all did, but beyond that, they might not have. They separated Truma Gedola because they knew that if you didn't separate Truma Gedola, you would have mis on that at all. They didn't realize that if you don't separate Maisa Rishon, because of the Trumas Masa, that you're also high Misa. And even if you separate Masa Rishon with the Trumas Masa, there's still an Isra Losa thing of eating tevel if you haven't separated Maser Shein and Maser Ani. So the Takana of the Mai, Yochanan Kohen Gadol made this. It should be, I think, at the end of the Seches the Mai. I think that's where it's mentioned.
Logically, makes sense that the Takana of the Mai is
what the end. Did you maybe think to tell us that there's a Nitzah Kriya Shema? So be it. It's the way it is. So he wrote on Me'er Tzuma Asfu. It was a little minority that wasn't, but. So he instituted that you buy from Anam Aretz, you separate first Maser Rishon and the Trumas Maser in it. The Trumas Maser you give to the Kohen, the Maser Rishon you keep for yourself. If the Levi wants the Maser Rishon, he has to prove that the Anam Aretz didn't separate Maser Rishon. Otherwise, it's Hamot Simei Chaveira Olav Harayah. And in this case, Rov Ameretz Ma'asrim. So forget the fact, even if a meal of Ameretz without Ma'asrim, or Ma'asrim, you might still be able to keep the Ma'asrim issue you separate because in Hochem Mamon Acharo. But certainly in this case, we're Rov Ameretz Ma'asrim, so the lady is not entitled to the Ma'asrim issue. But Ma'asrim Rishon, once you separate it and separate out from it, the Trumas Maser, or the Torah's term is Ma'asrim in a Maser, so at that point, there's no Isr Kedusha at the Maaser Rishon. And a czar is allowed, according to almost everybody except for Rabbi Meir and some Mishnayos and Yevamos, everybody else holds that you're allowed to eat Maaser Rishon for Yisrael. The lady gives you Maaser Rishon. If you separate Maaser Rishon and you don't give it to the lady, you're a gazlan, you're gozel mamad hashedev, but it's not like machalas asuras. Now, why, and Maaser Ani, if it's a year that you separate Maaser Ani, the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycles, as opposed to the first, second, fourth, and fifth, where you separate Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani you separate to remove his tabel, but you keep it for yourself as well, because if the Ani or the Gabai Shtaka demand the Maaser Ani, you can say, prove that the Amoraites didn't separate the Maaser Ani, then I'll give it. Because again, I'm Motzi Bechalav Harai. If it's Maaser Sheni, you take a few Shalayim and eat it yourself anyway, so that's what you do with Maaser Sheni Shavmai. The only question is, why can't you sell the Truma Smeiser to the Kohen? You can't eat the Trumas Meiser because with Rabbanim there's a Safek Yisur involved. Maybe the Amoraites didn't separate Maaser Rishon, and therefore this is really Trumas Meiser. So Mitzad Isur V'Heter, you're not allowed, a Zar can't eat it. But let's say I have Truma. Let's say a person has, his mother is a Bas Kohen, his father's not a Kohen, and his grandfather, obviously, his maternal grandfather's a Kohen. And let's say his grandfather has a whole storeroom of Truma, and he dies. And Rahman al-Islam, this grandfather's daughter had predeceased him, so the grandson is the Yerush, so he Yerushins all the Truma. What does he do with the Truma? His mom's dead. If she weren't dead, she would have inherited the Truma. And what, she can't do anything with the Truma either. You know why? Shimmy?
She's married.
Let's say her husband died or divorced her. She still can't do it with the Truma. Because she has Zera Yisrael. She has the grandson. A woman, a Bas Kohen, who marries a non-Kohen, cannot eat Truma when she's married to that person. Or, even if she's divorced or widowed, as long as there is living offspring, that being her last marriage. We can go through all the cases of Emma. So she married a Yisrael and has a child, and then the Yisrael died, and she married a Kohen and has a child, and then the Kohen dies. As long as that child is alive, the Kohen child, that's her last marriage, and she can eat Truma on the basis of the Zera Mikohen. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know why I even have a suffix about this. If a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, and then the Kohen dies, but she has Zera Mikohen, I think she eats Truma until, as long as the Zera's alive. Yeah, there's a famous Mishnah.
If Zera Mikohen dies, she still can't eat Truma until she
remarries
to a Kohen.
Unless the Zera Mikohen dies.
Once the Zera Mikohen dies, then she's good.
Then she's good. She's Chozeres Lebesabia. The Mishnah of Amos has a famous case. You can have a Kohen Gadol who passels his grandmother from eating Truma and a Mamzir who is machil his grandmother eating Truma. How so? Kohen Gadol is a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael, has a daughter. That daughter marries a Kohen. That Kohen and the daughter have a son who could be a Kohen Gadol. His grandmother, who is a Bas Kohen, cannot eat Truma as long as he's alive because it was her Zera from a Yisrael. And it's a Mishnah. And then the Mamzer case is a Bas Yisrael marries a Kohen, has a child, a son. No, I'm sorry. It has to be a daughter. And the daughter has a child from a Goy. Now, that sheet in the Mishnah holds that, thank God we don't pass it in this way, that Eved Achma Haba Bas Yisrael Haba Mamzer. That someone whose father is not Jewish, whose mother is Jewish, so that because there's no kiddushin possible, there's a major sheep in the Gemara and Mishnayos, and Amoraim also held that way, that the child's a mamzer. We don't pass them that way.
Oh.
We pass them since it's not that there's no kiddushin between this man and this woman, but they each could have kiddushin otherwise, it's that the goy is not a bar kiddushin. Therefore, it doesn't create mamzerus. So therefore, you have, but according to the Mishnah, you have a grandson of this woman who was a Bas Yisrael who married a Kohen. And because that grandson, who's a mamzer, is still alive, she can eat him. So, moral of the story is, you'd rather your grandchildren be mamzer than a kohen gadol. There's a line in the Mishnah along those lines, not quite that strong, but the grandmother complains, about her grandchild, the kohen gadol. Can't you just see that? My son, the doctor. My grandson, the doctor. My grandson, the lawyer. My grandson, the kohen gadol. Yeah, I can't do without him. Okay. All right. So anyway. What if you're the grandson who inherits all that truma? You can't eat it. So what do you do with it?
Sell.
You sell it to a kohen because the mamon belongs to him. He's a zah. The mamon belongs to him, so he's allowed to sell it to a kohen. Now obviously, it's going to be discounted because truma always sells for less on the open market because
only
kohen can eat it. Less demand definitionally. Anybody who can eat truma can also eat kohen. But most people can eat chulin, can't eat truma. So by definition, there's always greater demand for, there's always less demand for truma. So it's going to carry you, it's good this time. So the question is, why by Dabai, if it's a suffix, whether or not the Amara is separated truma spicer, why can't you sell the truma spicer to a kohen? That he has that he can't eat it himself, I understand. So I think the Rosh says on that first Mishnah, the reason why they didn't allow him to sell it to the kohen, because they were afraid if he's going to sell it to the kohen, he's going to let it hang around until he finds a kohen to sell it to, and in the meantime he'll be nifshal and he'll eat from it. Whereas if he just has to give it to a kohen, so as soon as he finds a kohen, he'll give it to that kohen. Lewis will be making the rounds. Okay. Fine. So that's the din of the mind. Now what are kalim shebe d'mai? So here, there is a major machlokas in the Yerushalmi. How does Rashi explain here? What does it mean to be kalim shebe d'mai? You understand?
I thought it just meant that they're potter from d'mai, but I guess that's not.
That you don't have to separate when Amma Aretz sells you this. You don't have to. Why not? Well, then you would never have to. That's the takon of d'mai, is that it's a suffix.
No, because these are the types of things that people don't go out of their way to like make, so it's probably healthier when they're giving it to you.
They're slower quality.
So why does that affect things? Because if you're going to be a ganav, at least let it be for a lot of money. I generally don't advise my students to rob banks. But if you're going to rob a bank, don't do it for $10,000. Make sure at least you have a couple more zeros on it. Again, it's us that rob banks. I'm not recommending the practice. I've never done one myself. I don't plan to do one. I hope you will never do one. But the point is, if you can do an avera, at least it's worth it. If you're going to, you know, a ganav of $10,000, a ganav of $1 million, same avera, fundamentally speaking. Right? So, you know, if you're going to eat, you know, treif, at least enjoy it, because at least you're going to get punished in the next world, so you might as well just get on out from it. As you understand, I don't recommend doing Yisurim. I think one's supposed to be an Eved Hashem and never do Yisurim. But, you know, it's like Rabba said to the Talmid of the Beis Medrash, if you don't have Yerush Shemayim, what are you doing here? You're Yerush to Gehenim. It's Gehenim in this world, Gehenim in the next world. Right? So, yes, Ram?
When you say, you go the opposite way and say, if they're willing to steal, like, the best stuff, then of course they will. Like, if they're willing to not...
No, that's not the way people work. Right? Smart people, at least, don't who do you mug? The person whose car do you rob? You know, the person who's driving the 1979 Datsun, or the person who's driving the 2023 Lexus?
But the point is, if you're willing to break the glass in the Lexus, then nothing stops you.
It's true, but it's not worth it, because what you're going to get from your fence is you have to choose between... besides which, you know you're doing an avera, so you say like this: if it doesn't cost me that much to do this mitzvah, I'll do it. When it gets expensive, so that's a different story. That's suma psychology. So that was one suggestion. That's what Rashi says. How do you know that that's correct? Other than the fact that Rashi said it, but maybe somebody would argue with Rashi. Nobody argues with Rashi on this. Rashi writes a kalim shebidmai, peiros shekelu chachamim bidmai shalahem shehalocha b'ama aretz nitzarach l'asun elohein. And he doesn't explain until the next Dibamasko. Hashitim, She'enim Hashum, Beina Ma'aretz, Chos Aleim Ela Asra. Like, what's the point in that set? You know, if it's worth very little in the first place, I may as well do the mitzvah. Why, you know, why eat Tevel on this if I can, if it doesn't barely cost me to do the mitzvah? So, the Gemara here is going to read through the definitions. For reading's sake, just read through quickly. I'm not interested in what these various dinim are. If you are interested in knowing what they are, go pick up Felix's Tzomeach HaChayba Mishnah. You can't buy it because it's not in print, to the best of my knowledge, but the library should have it.
Cool. Good to know. Occasionally one copy pops up in these books or
something. Okay. So my copy is preciously guarded. When Giller's borrowed it, I just told him at the time, I think it was only Ziva was born. I said, if you don't return the book, I'm taking your firstborn. So, anyway, so it's hard to get. I bought this one literally decades ago, probably at least 30 years ago, probably more than that. But it's not in print. It's unfortunate. But it's called Achayba Tzomeach B'Mishnah, Flora and Tzomeach B'Chayba Mishnah, Flora and Fauna Mishnah, and he's got one, Tzomeach B'Chayba Tzomeach B'Torah. Fauna and flora in the Torah. Unfortunately, he didn't do all of Nach. He only did it on Torah. Professor Yehuda Felix, the late Professor Yehuda Felix, was a botanist at Hebrew for a very long time. He passed away probably in the last 15 years. The book Tzireach HaChai B'Mishnah began actually as a companion piece published in the back of a Seder's Ram of Mishnayis. I think it was called Maris HaMishnah. He attracted the ire of certain Haredi figures because he didn't identify all of the minim, such as oats, such as Shibol Shul, in accordance with some of the traditional identifications and mistakes that have arisen over the millennia. Anyway, so you can see what those are. I'm not that interested for our purposes. So he says, just go ahead. Mitzvah is Pircha. That one you should know, by the way. What's Mitzvah? I should know that. We learned it already. What? Nice try. Get 2 points for that. Caper! Minyan Itzba! Fluff! That's in that price now. Minyan Nitzba, that's one of the terms used there. So Nitzba, he means Pircha. It means the flower. Right? Because there were like four different things that identify the Olim, the Avionos, the Tamaros, and the Kafrisin.
Right.
So the Kafrisin are really the flower, I think. So this is Pircha. Should be the Kafrisin. That's considered, right? That is, okay. And finally, so they have to identify this. So now we get the machlokas. What are Novlos Tvara? So one says, Bushlei, Kamra, V'chad Amar. Okay. So now, all right, so far the explanation offered was the reason why you don't have to separate these demai is because the Amaretz is not like the Vichidama. So the Gemara makes the obvious inference. What if the Amaretz looked you in the eye and said, Shumas and Mises were not separated from these? So what would you think that then would be, Ezra?
Well, they haven't thought that.
Yeah? Is your name Ezra?
Yeah.
He's practicing ventriloquism. Okay. So, Vadai would be chayv. So the Gemara immediately turns around and says, go ahead, find the Shlama. Yeah, people are mafkir. They step off between people are mafkir. So even, so the Hefker is Pater from Shumas and Mises. Okay. Now you're right, normally it would be, but if someone made it into a Goren, which he explained, something that's really Pater Midian Shumas and Mises, but if you make it, if you gather this stuff together and make a pile out of it, then the Chacham and Rashi says, well, Mechayu, because it looks like it should be Chayim and Shumas and Mises. They quote the example, the Amar of Yitzchak. Okay, so Lekha, Chich, and Peah are potter from Shumas and Mises. Now, is Lekha, Chich, and Peah Hefker? What I mean by that is, can I be mafker something only for Aniyim or for some group of people? Now, let me explain what that question means. Of course, I can take my Yerushalmi and say, I am mafker this for people who are on the right side of the room, all right, but not people on the left side of the room. That's not hefker. That's giving permission for some people to make a kinyan and as opposed to others. It's revocable. I can turn around as a guy with my shaman, change my mind, nobody can be zoha. And if you grab it, you're a god. So that's not hefker. Hefker means, so that's, we don't see this hefker like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says it's not hefker until you're mafker lashir. What is the model of hefker for Beis Hillel? Anybody know? It's a Mishnah Nevius. Machlokas is there. Beis Hillel says it has to be like shvius. Hashvius, Pishmetan, and Tashna. And shvius, are the fruits hefker only for the poor but not for the rich? They're hefker for everybody. Beis Shammai says that hefker laniyim is hefker. It has the status of hefker. It's not just that aniyim have the right to make a kinyan. It's hefker. The nafgamin is. That's an interesting question. That's a complicated sugya nedarim.
How do you have hefker that you're able to, like,
Well, that's a different... There's a very complicated Sugya Gaon that I don't know well about the whole concept of Hefker. Not so simple. But what it means is, it's Pata from Shumas and Isis have been taken. So if you hold that, it's only Rishus for some people to make a Kenyan. Those people have the right to make a Kenyan, but they're Chayiv in Shumas and Isis. It's like, I gave you something. Whereas if it's actually Hefker, Beishamai claims that Hefker Laniyim is Hefker, and Beisil Omrim, Eino Hefker, Achi Afkir, and Afla Shirim to Shemitah. I believe that Shemitah is mentioned in the Malam Mishnah. But Beishamai's model is Lekhet Shechem Peh, which is Hefker on the Chaniyim. So there it's a Xeris Akasim that Lekhet Shechem Peh are part of the Shumas and Isis, but it's not a model for general Hefker. So if Laniyim gather together Lekhet Shechem Peh and they process it into a pile, so then the Rabbanim is a requirement that you separate Shumas and Isis. So that's why it might be, even if it's no close Mara, even if it's based the falls of tree that are generally considered Hefker, if you make it into a Goren, it's high, so that's why only Demai is potter, but Vadai is chayav when you make it into a Goren, Midrabbana. Yes.
It's only chayav because it looks like?
Yes, yes. It's exerted Rabbana.
Actually, because you're making it.
Correct. Because once it's potter, I mean, this is complicated, but that's what Rashi says. And we're not doing pan, the Eftelthin Shnai is the first pair can pair, but it would appear that it's mufka permanently from Shumas and Isis. It started its life as mufka, and therefore processing it will not make it Minat Torah Chayav. That's complicated, but let's leave it at that for the moment. Then the Gemara quotes a different approach, which is Ikadam,
right?
Okay, so one might expect that we will Pashkin that in this Mishnah, that Novlos that we're talking about that you make a shakal are Bushler Kamra, and that what is included in that Mishnah in Demai, that are Mekalj of Demai, will be the Kamri Bezita. Here's the interesting thing about this Sugya. Tosis in Rosh Hashanah, no places, Tosis in Rosh Hashanah, Pesavah, and these points this out. The Rishonim are bothered. The Rashba here is bothered by a similar. He doesn't talk about the interesting question. They both talk about the Noshuach, whether the Noshuach are good or bad. But the idea here that Rashi has presented is that the Noshuach are Kami Tainim. A lot of these things are figs. The number of these species are figs. So they're Kami figs. So nobody bothers to cheat on Kami figs. Good figs, sure, but not the Kami figs. So actually, if you look at the Yerushalmi, the opening sugya of the Mai, quotes about Pokus Reish Lakesh or Yochanan as to why is it that these Yerushalmi are the Ma'asa. Reish Lakesh says, because Amei Oretz, they're not valuable enough for Amei Oretz to be worth their while to cheat. However, Yochanan says, no, it's because the Stama, they came from Hefker. So Yerushalmi asks a very basic question. The stomach that came from Hefker, what difference does it make whether it's Demai or Vadai? If these are things that typically don't grow, aren't domesticated, people just gather them from the wild, so they were Hefker to start with. So when the Amoritz gathers it, it's still Pucker. So why did the Mishnah say that these are Kalin and Demai? These are Kalin even in Vadai. So Yerushalmi gives an answer, which is, it's true. Except for this is Maseches Demai. So we're talking about Demai, but in Echanami, these things would be even Kalin and Vadai. How does the Bavli hold? Show me.
The Bavli holds against that.
Holds like Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. It's interesting that the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan in the Yerushalmi, which makes sense, despite the fact that the sugya here seems to be a sugya Reish Lakish. Now, again, this is not a primary sugya. This is kind of just derech agav. And you could, by the way, say that the Rambam's paskin like the Ikad Amri. The Ikad Amri could be assuming Rabbi Yochanan Shita. That's the kasha of the first issue was only if you assume that it's Mitzad Sofek. But the second question, the Ikad Amri could be assuming, nah, that's not a shayla because Eino Chanami. It could be Novlos Tamara, and it doesn't have to be that you made them into a Goren. It could be that it's Novlos Tamara that are Hefker that are Potter because they are. Well, I guess it doesn't matter, right? That it could be that in Echanami it's not because of Asan Goren. It could be that in a chanami, even vadai would be potter. And the Mishnah only says demai because it's mesachis demai, but in a chanami. And then the Gemara goes on to talk about the second question, which is how the Rambam paskens. There's a very interesting question, and I'll close with this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger taught, there's a very long Gilui Hashas in the Yerushalmi there, at the beginning, first page of the Mai. The question that's asked is that often, and maybe, I don't know if it's only Rabbi Meir Shita, but when we have a Cheskas Isser, we're typically mitzarev a miut to the Cheskas Isser. I don't know if that's only Rabbi Meir. And there's a famous machlokes in Shas where Meir's holds chayshin on the miuta. But he's choshish for miut shein amatzu. We're only choshish for miut hamatzu, a common miut. How you define common might be something like 10% or more. So normally we say when you have a miut hamatzu, so we say that if you have a cheskas iser, you combine it with the miut hamatzu, and it's really treated as it's a safek hashakel. So the question that is raised is, if the am ha'aretz, if miut am ha'aretz are not ma'asrim, and produce has a cheskas tevel, why is it only a din the rabbanon and not? Assuming that the chiv and trumas and isis is the right side. Why not say smoch miut ala chazaka? The israeli ruban is the gemara's expression. You combine the miut with the cheskas itself, and the rogue is undermined. It can no longer dominate. So the mai is just the tachkam of the rabbanon. So much so they didn't even make a bracha. That's what the gemara Bama Levikin says. A suffik to divrehem, they don't make a bracha. Yom Tov Sheni is a different question. Why we make brachas in Yom Tov Sheni? That's because we don't want to be the mezalzalim. So why don't you say smoke mitzvah hazaka? So tell me something. When you have this stuff, that is there a cheska? And when you have produce that Amaretz brings you, wants to sell you, is there a cheskas issur tevel on that stuff? Why not? Yeah.
Because we never established the chazaka in the first place.
But we know. We know the stuff grew from the ground, and until tevel separated, the cheskas is. So the answer that's given is that we don't know there's a cheskas issur, because it's possible that he brought it in not through the front door.
Right.
And he brought it, or he did either like Rav Oshia, machnis the mochela, or he brought it in derech karpit, derech, you know, gagim, and things like that. So tevel, there was a gemara with him. We spoke about this.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a vadai cheskas issur, and therefore it only left with the rov hamei or its masim. So if not for the takana the rabbanon, then one would not be obligated to separate from the semisis, because one could rely upon the rabbanon.